Well, have you ever been somewhere or been a part of something where you really felt like you belong? Hopefully your family's one place you feel that. Hopefully when you're with your family, you feel like you belong there. If not, I don't know what to tell you. But hopefully you do. You have that sense of understanding and a sense of fulfillment and knowing that you are where you should be, that these people around you love you and care for you as you are, warts and all. And that's a part of what we should be as a body of Christ, is it not? As a fellowship of believers, we should be a part where people should feel welcome, where people should sense that they belong to this fellowship. And we're going to look in just a few moments at some scripture. You go ahead and turn in your copy of God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we'll be. We'll actually be beginning in, I believe, verse 12 and go through this chapter here in just a little bit, through these verses. But I want us to just think about what it means to belong for a little bit and what God has allowed us to be a part of and how you and I are connected in our walk with Him. So as you find that in your copy of God's Word, if you're able, would you stay with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, come on. Maybe we are. Here we go. Boy, it's just slow today. Here we go. Looking in verse 6, verses 12 through 20. As you find that in your copy of God's Word, He says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but also raises us up through His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? So then, I take away the members of Christ and make them members of, shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two should become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body." And now the two key verses we'll look at this morning. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of the apostle as he speaks to us today. I pray, Father, you use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word to your people today, that we might be encouraged, we might be strengthened, and we might have our hearts and minds more keenly focused on who you are and what you desire to accomplish in our lives. Bless this time and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When we become a part of God's family, we become a part of something more than we realize sometimes. It's a worldwide group. I mean, it's massive. The family of God, and the numbers vary on what the actual number of Christians are in the world, but let's say there's more than a few. Would you agree with that? There's a lot of folks that claim the name of Christ, and when you become a follower of Christ, you become a part of that. And what Paul wants believers to understand, that now you are a part of this, that you belong, and you belong not because you're good. You don't belong because you go to church. You don't belong because of something you've accomplished. You belong because of what Christ has accomplished for you, because of what He's done and made you into the child of God that you are now becoming. Now you are a part of His family. Now, how many of you, a part of your earthly family, everything goes exactly the way you want it to go? Why are you laughing? No, it doesn't. We all have challenges. Have you noticed in our families that we're all a little different? You know, even though we may have some similar heritages and a lot of things alike, there's some things about us that are different. You know, in my family, I'll just pick on my family because I can do that, right? My biological, my parents and my in that whole group. I've got a couple of nephews and a couple of nieces, and you know, and my nephews are very similar and yet very different. And they're different from me. And my sisters and I are completely different. I'm the good one. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know who that is. You'd have to ask my mom. It probably much depends on the day. But anyway, we're just different. But yet we're still family. We're still connected. Why are we still connected? We're connected because of our relationship to one another. And what I think I think Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthian church here is that you're still connected. Even though there are things about you that are different, even though you have disagreements, even though you don't see everything exactly the same, you are connected. You belong to one another because you belong to the family of God. I think it's very fitting that today we look at this when we just honored the veterans of our country and those who serve us, and that this flag that is to my right reminds us of the unity that we have as a nation. Across the 50 states that are the United States, you will find a variety of opinions. Would you agree? You will find different perspectives. You will find different understandings. You will find people that do not agree with each other on some very key issues. And sometimes we get a little heated in those discussions, do we not? If you don't believe me, did you not remember we just had all these commercials? How many of you like the absence of political commercials on TV? Amen. Oh, I thought I'd get some hands. I'm all for that. I'm glad those are done for a little while. But it shows us that in spite of those differences, we unite around the common reality that we are Americans. Our differences unite us. Now, why do we struggle the same in the church and not, don't realize sometimes that while we have our differences, while we see things differently, we are all one under the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all members of God's family because of what he has accomplished for us. We are all a part of who he is, and we belong to that, and we have that connectedness and that encouragement and that strength and that relationship with one another that we have through Christ Jesus. And yet sometimes I forget it. Sometimes we do, and I guess I'm preaching to myself because I'm getting ready to go to our state meeting, and that's always fun because you get a bunch of pastors in a room, and you know how it goes. Maybe you don't, but it can be kind of scary sometimes. But generally, these are a lot better than the ones I went to in Missouri. Those were a little more volatile. You get the guys in their groups politicking and getting ready for the big votes, and you know what was going to happen. It was all about, I don't know, stuff. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that at every level, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to one another, and we belong to Christ. And we're connected to one another, and we have that in common. And what Paul is trying to explain here is where that comes from, is he kind of talks through this whole process. There's something going on here. You might have noticed he says some things that don't quite seem to make sense to us today. But there was a belief in the day when Paul was preaching that all you had to do to become a Christian was say, I believe, and that was it. It didn't matter how you lived your life. All you had to do was assent or make the knowledge that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and then you could just, because of God's grace, it didn't matter how you lived your life, whatever you did with your body, with the rest of you, didn't matter because those were two different things. And that mindset was what we call Gnosticism. It became a belief, and a lot of people believe that basically your soul was saved and your body was destroyed, so what you did with your body didn't matter. Now, that heresy is exactly the only way to describe it. It's wrong. It's not a proper teaching of Scripture. It doesn't fit with any part of the Scripture text. Was widely taught and widely believed, and Paul is combating that here because many people in the church, especially and even in Corinth, were struggling with this reality. They called themselves followers of Christ, yet their lives didn't quite measure up to that. Aren't you glad we've gotten over that today in the world? I wish. We haven't quite made it yet. I don't know that we ever will in this life. But the reality is that our relationship with God should change the way that we live. It should affect our conduct. It should affect the way we view other people. It should affect a lot of things about us. Because what following Christ means is that now I surrender my life to his power and his plan. I submit myself to him. I give myself over to what he desires, not so much what I want, not my plans, not my agenda, not my hopes and dreams. Now they are his hopes and dreams that matter most. And that's a hard shift for many of us to make and to struggle with. For oftentimes, it's easier to say, well, God, I'll follow you if you let me have what I want. That, my friends, is idolatry. When we think we can manipulate God to doing what we want, it puts us in control and not God, and that never works. Because God will not be manipulated. God will not be altered. God will accomplish what God desires to accomplish because he is God. He is sovereign. He will do what he desires, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I want, regardless of how I believe it should be. He knows what is best. And what I have to learn is to align myself with him, to trust him, and allow him to lead and say, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life is fine. Even if that means my life is over at some point, and it will be, I have to trust him and allow him to be a part of that. And what Paul is trying to help these believers understand very clearly is that it's not about what you want. It's about what God has called you to do. And that's why verses 19 and 20 are so strongly worded and yet so powerful. It says, you do not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought of that for a moment? Well, you're going to think about it now. The body, that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you claim Jesus, your body is literally the temple of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. Paul did, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I want that to sink in, that your body, what you do with it, is the temple. Now, how many of you have seen pictures of what's left of the temple in Jerusalem, right? You've seen them. I mean, those are the ruins. There was one time you've probably seen diagrams and paintings of what the temple looked like in the days of Jesus. It was quite an amazing structure. But the temple was basically something they built to house the Ark of the Covenant, and they had this thing for years called the tabernacle. It was a tent they carried with them as they were going through the wilderness, and they had it for a long time. And the tent, the tabernacle tent, was this huge tent, a lot bigger than the one we have out here for vacation Bible school and soccer camp, much bigger. But it was this huge tent, and in the center of this tent, they kind of had it cordoned off. They had a tent, and in it was different sections. And the first section was kind of like the court for everybody, you know, that anybody could go to, the Gentiles, women, anybody. And then there was the one for the men. And then there was this other area known as the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, at the very heart of the temple, in this small room, was the Ark of the Covenant. It was kept there. And as it's placed there, it was a sacred place. It was a place the high priest went in only once a year after committing all the sacrifices and making sure he had purified himself in every way. He would go into the Holy of Holies. He would then confess the sins of the people and sprinkle the blood of the Passover lamb on the altar in hopes that God would forgive his sin and the sin of the people. That was done every year. That's what the purpose of Passover was. That's why it's such a big deal to the Jewish faith at that time, and still is that to this day. And we also know, you may have heard it, read it, that when the high priest went in, he had two things. He had a bell on, which seems kind of strange, and he had a rope attached to his waist. Why was that? Well, in case the high priest, the whole God found some impurity in the high priest, and I'm guessing they did this because it must have happened, was found impure, and God took him right there, they could pull him out. One, the bell would sound, they know he would fallen, and then they just pull him out because they, you know, were not going in there because it was the Holy of Holies. It is the most sacred place in all of the universe. And now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy of Holies dwells in your spirit because the Holy Spirit now indwells you. And what Paul wants these believers to understand is who you are. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God indwells you. Why do you live in a way as if you think you can do whatever you want with your life when now God indwells you and now you're just like, I can do what I want because, you know, it's my life. No, it's not. When you become a follower of Christ, it's no longer about you or me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about my will. It's not about my wants. It's not about my preferences. It's about following him and him alone and what he desires. Now, how that fleshes out for each of us, I understand there are differences because God uses us each differently. And I'm not saying you have to follow him one certain way. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you have to follow him and surrender to him. And I know that's hard for us because we like things the way we like things. And we like to do what we do the way we want to do it in our time, in our plan. And God says, no, I have a plan. I have a purpose. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul goes, whom you have from God, that you are not your own. You no longer belong to yourself. Your life is not about you anymore. It is now about what God desires to do in and through it. And in case you didn't get it, he finishes this with this powerful statement in verse 20, for you have been bought with a price. What price is he talking about there? Jesus. The sacrifice of our Savior on the cross has purchased us, and we are now a part of God's family. Our identity, our membership, our who we are has been transferred from what we were to now whom we are in Christ Jesus. We are now a part of God's family, and that cost God something immense. It cost him his Son. He gave himself for us so that we now have that opportunity to become a part of God's family. To become a part of all that God desires, to follow him in faithfulness, to understand who he is and begin to have a relationship with him. It is not something that just happens because God's a nice guy and thinks it needs to happen. I guess he could do that, but then he wouldn't be God. He does that because he wants to make us right. He doesn't want just to make us, how do I say this? I'll just say it. He doesn't want just to make us happy and to make us feel good. What he wants to do is make us holy. Did you get the difference? You are a child of God now if you're a follower of Christ. They say, well, this doesn't mean anything to me because I don't follow Jesus. I just do what I want. Okay, that's fine. You realize that you'll have to make a choice one day, and that following Jesus is what it's about if you want to be a member of God's family. And if you want to experience eternal life, that's the only way you experience eternal life, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter how many times you endure my messages, or any other pastor for that matter. What matters is that you have a relationship with Jesus, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have spent that time, you have called upon him and called out and said, Lord, save me and be Lord of my life. And you've surrendered and given your life to him. Now, are there days that you're not going to live a surrendered life? Absolutely. We all have days that we don't do so well, because surrender is something we have to do every day. We have to continually give ourselves over to what God desires with our lives, because God has always created us for relationship. I want you to look back in Genesis, if you would, with me for just a moment. Okay? That's way back at the beginning. All right? Genesis 2. I want to look at a verse for just a moment. It won't take long. Because you are created to have a relationship with God. You are never created to just kind of live your faith out in isolation. You are created to be a part of God's family and part of that connection. Look what he says in 2:18. This is after the creation of Adam. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable to him. It's not good for us. We're not created for aloneness. Why do you think that in the penal systems of many countries, including our own, they have a thing called solitary confinement? And it's a punishment. How many of you remember when you were a child, now hopefully this never happened to you in grade school, when the teacher made you go sit in the corner with your face to the wall? Don't, if you did it, you don't have to raise your hand. I did it more than once, okay? I know what that's like. Now, why would the teacher make us go sit in the corner with our face to the wall while everybody else is doing their thing? Isolation. It's punishment. It was to remind us that, and we don't like that. We don't like being isolated. Now, some of us like, and I'm not saying you don't like being alone. That's not what I'm saying. Sometimes we do. How many remember that movie with Tom Hanks years ago? I think it was Castaway? You know, or he gets stuck on that island. And there's not a lot of dialogue except with a volleyball. Wilson, that's it. Yeah, he has that dialogue with Wilson. And you learn to love that volleyball. It's really weird how you get a tattoo, you know, anyway. That's one, anyway, I'm not going to give it away. There's a lot, but that whole idea of what it's like to be alone, we're not created for that. We're not wired for that. We are made to be in relationship with one another and with our Creator. We want to belong to something. Why do people get involved in so many different activities and things? I remember a little television show that was on for, I don't know, over a decade, about a bar in Boston. Remember that show? What was it called? Cheers. Yeah, see? And probably many of you know the song, because what's the key, the linchpin? It's a place where everybody knows your name. That was the idea. That was the connection. And people watched that show for years. It was like number one every year. It was just, it was the show, and it spun off a bunch of other shows. But the idea that what drew people to that show, I don't think it was the incredible acting and script. I think it was that idea. They wanted a place. It kind of reminded them what they want. To belong, to be a part of something bigger than themselves, to have that connected, to be who they are in the middle of a group, regardless of their flaws. And would you agree that the characters in that show had flaws? Amen? And if we were to go around this church this morning, every one of us have flaws. May not get an amen on that, but it's true. We all do. We have our things, our issues. There's things about us, our quirks. And that's okay. But we are still family. And we are connected to one another by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are not our own. We are bought with a price, as he says to us here. And then he gives that little admonition. Did you catch what he said at the end of that there? Come on. Did you see it? What does he say at the very end? For you have been bought with a price, therefore what? Glorify God in your body. With your life, in your flesh. Glorify God. Everything you do, everything about you should be to bring glory to your Creator. This body that he has given us, while we may not always like it, and it may not always do what we want. In fact, more often, the older we get, the less it does what we want, the more it does what it wants to do, seems like. And yet, it is given to us by God. And we treat it as it is literally the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're told here. It is something we are to be used for his glory, and as best we can, we allow him to use our lives for his glory. That's the focus of being a follower of Christ. I mean, it's pretty simple, and yet pretty hard. It's easy to talk about this kind of stuff, but you know, then there are times where like, well, you know, Lord, I understand that. That would be really good, but I've got these things I want to do with my life. I've got these things that I want to do with my body. And is it okay? And I remember I did student ministry for almost 20 years, and I can remember if I had one student, I had 100 of them to ask me this question. What can I do and still be considered a Christian? And they'd have a litany. And I had one of my students in particular, he had all these things, and he had these situations just completely drawn out of how this happens, am I still a Christian if I do this? And then he became my brother-in-law. But anyway, yeah, I married my sister. But he always had these questions for me. I said, Rod, you know, I don't know all that, but what it really comes down to is being faithful to God in the moment that he gives you and not worrying about what you can get away with, but more worrying about how can I bring him glory? How can I honor him? How can I bring a smile to the face of my Savior? How can I show him I am grateful for what he has done in my life? And that's really the challenge for all of us, isn't it? The lives that we've been given, these bodies that we've been given, we only have for a short time. This life is not long. Some days it may seem like it, but when you look in comparison with all the people that have lived and you start looking back on history, you know, if you get 70, 80, 90, some get 100 years, what is that in the scope of the amount of time that people have been on planet Earth? I mean, it's nothing. It's a vapor. It's over. And yet God allows us to have this time that we are given to bring him glory, to experience all that he has for us, to have a relationship with him, and to draw others to him through our as he uses our lives for his purposes so that others might see his goodness at work through us. And we are part of something that is huge. We belong to a family that has been around for a few thousand years. And you know how long this family is going to be around? Forever. Think about that. So look at the people in this room for a moment. You can go ahead and look, you know. You can look at them. They're family. You're connected to them as followers of Christ. I hope you like each other. Because eternity and forever, that's a really long time. And yet we're united how? How are we united? By just our good looks and our language? No, we're united by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and our love for Jesus Christ. And that is what draws us together, and that is what draws us to the throne. That is what we experience, and that is what gives us that sense of belonging, that sense of who we are. And we belong because of what Christ has done for us. We don't belong because we're worthy. We don't belong because, you know, we did this or that. We belong because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross. And we have given our lives over to that, and now we are a part of his family. Now we are connected. Now we are members, not just of South End Baptist Church, but more importantly, of the family of God. A family of God that worships in a variety of ways, in a multitude of languages, in expressions that you and I might not be able to quite grasp or might not really appreciate as well as we should, and yet all across the globe, usually today, Sunday, as Sunday spreads, you know, the time zones and it goes across, people are worshiping God in so many different ways. And we're all one. Not because of how we worship, not because of the language we speak, not because of anything, but because of Christ Jesus and Christ alone. And we belong to that family. And here at South End Baptist Church, we belong to one another. You've made a commitment as you come here, those of you that are members here, that are a part of this fellowship, you have made that commitment to one another, that you will love one another, that you will pray for one another, that you will support and encourage one another. And even though there are times that we disagree with one another, if you don't believe those times happen, come to a business meeting, I'll show you. And there's one this Wednesday, so you can see it. It happens. That's okay. We are still family. Do you have disagreements in your earthly family? Absolutely. I know, I've been to funerals. That's usually when they come up. It's amazing how people sometimes act. And yet, it doesn't change the reality of who we are and to whom we belong. We are always his. And his desire is for us to understand that and to grow in that relationship with him and with one another. To respect and love one another. Doesn't say we have to agree about everything. Doesn't say we have to walk lockstep. We're not a bunch of whatever, Nazis or whatever, that do everything exactly the same. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ, and we are to love and respect one another regardless of what we think, but because of who we are. A lot like this flag to my right, isn't it? What unites us as a country? Would you agree with me when I say Americans are different? Oh, man. We have a lot of different points of view, and yet we're united at times. We should be united all the time because of not being something. The flag symbolizes that unity, doesn't it? And shouldn't the blood of Christ symbolize our unity as followers of Christ? Isn't that what we should be about? It's all about loving Jesus, loving others, and advancing his kingdom. It's that simple. That's what the church is here for. That's what we belong to. So what do we do with all what the preacher's been talking about today? He's talking about a lot because preachers do that, right? It's really pretty simple. There may be someone here today that thinks, well, you know, I've heard about churches, and churches are interesting places, and they are. And people that go to church, you know, they have their issues. Yes, they do. If you find the perfect church, beware. Beware. One, there is no such thing as a perfect church, because a perfect church would mean it has perfect people. And you know what? I've only known of one person to be perfect. And he's here today, not bodily, but he's here today, and that's my Savior Jesus. He's the only person I know that's ever lived and was perfect. Everybody else that's ever lived, we've made all kinds of mistakes, more than we can mention. We have failed in many ways to live up to the expectation that we have, that God has of us, and we have of ourselves even. And yet, even in imperfect people, God can do incredible things. If you don't believe that God can't use imperfect people, read this book. It's called the Bible. There are countless narratives in here and stories in here about men and women who were not perfect, who had flaws beyond. Some of them are worse than yours. Let's just be that way, okay? How many of you ever murdered someone? I didn't think a hand would go up. I hope not. You know, there are thieves in here. There's all kinds of awful people in here. There are connivers, adulterers, all kinds of people who've done all kinds of things. Murder. All 10 commandments are broken regularly in this book by people. And yet, what does God do with the people in this book? He uses them. Can he do the same with you, or does it only work for people that lived back then? What do you think? Can you still be used of God? Absolutely. God can still use you if you surrender to him and trust him. He can use you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters more of what you're willing to do, and are you willing to surrender to him? Because he can take you as you are and change you completely into the man or woman of God he wants you to be, and to use you for the purposes and plans that he has for your life. I don't know what those are, but he does. So what do you do with that today? Would you pray with me, Father? I thank you for your word. I thank you for the testimony of the apostle and allowing us and reminding us that we belong to you because of what you've done for us. And I thank you, Lord, that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. And I thank you so much for the incredible price that was paid for our salvation. And Father, if there is one here today that has never received that gift of your love and grace, I pray that today would be the day they would trust you completely with their life. And for many of us, we have followed you almost from a distance. We trust you, but then there's certain areas of our life where we're like, Lord, I'm not sure I really want to give this over to you. You know, I don't know if you really understand what I'm going through. And yet you do. You know us better than we know ourselves. And I pray if there's one here that needs to just surrender, that they would do that today. That today might be the day they can mark in their life as a day when I said, okay, God, whatever you want to do with my life, fine. I don't know what that looks like. I can't even pretend, but I trust you. Father, we thank you that you are willing to meet us as we are and where we are, but you love us too much to leave us as we are. You desire for us to become like your son. That's the standard. And we thank you for all that you've accomplished. And I pray, Father, today, if there is one here who has not done that, that today would be that day. Use this time in whatever way you desire. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.